This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It was HB 5002. It was a pretty massive housing bill that had been worked on a long time. And according to reports, the governor and his office were working on the bill. It passes. And then the governor vetoes it. And it's been a bit of a storm. I mean, there's such a housing problem in this state, from inventory to affordability, a whole bunch of things. And so I was really interested when Jenny Monk at CT Mirror, go to ctmirror.org, sort of was able to go through correspondence surrounding the issue and the timing, you know, of the veto of the housing bill. And whether we're at square one or it'll be addressed in a special session or what, we don't know. But Jenny joins us now on Brian and Company. Jenny, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. So all those documents... is that all FOI?
Yep, those were all FOI of emails between the governor and key members of his staff who worked on this bill.
And, like, I'm always curious because I don't do what you do. Is he has to have all of his correspondence involved in that, even stuff with his wife? Or is it the labeled person? If it's on a state phone or computer, it's part of it?
Yeah, I think there's some nuance there, but the emails between him and his wife were about state business, so I think it was pretty clearly within the bounds of FOI.
So you went through a lot of this stuff, and what you know, obviously it was a ton of stuff to go through. Can you detail to some degree in layperson's term in a short amount of time we have, sort of like what went through the thought process and him changing his mind on this bill?
Sure. I think you can see pretty early on that his staff are working on the bill. There's a few technicalities, some things to do with the budget that they'd like to see change. But by and large, they say they're on board with the policies in the bill. And then you kind of see emails between the governor, his wife, and some members of the staff about messages coming out from a group that opposed the bill, 169 Strong, that's largely based in Fairfield County. And, you know, they're talking about how do we combat this rhetoric. And ultimately, you know, they're getting thousands of calls. A lot of them appear to be from folks who also heard from 169 Strong. And ultimately, the governor decided to veto the bill.
And we're talking with Jenny Monk from CT Mirror. You can read the piece on ctmirror.org. What was it? I'm just curious of where the opposition was before the bill passed, and also, does it feel like this is politics in the sense that he didn't want to make all these people mad as he's ramping up to run for a third term?
Yeah, so there is a mention of a third term from Annie Lamont, sort of as they're viewing the reactions to the veto. So she emails him about this is how a third term is. It's hard. They were getting daily counts of the opposition and support for the bill. And kind of some of the context that the staff provided was that they said the opposition seemed to be largely from Fairfield County, that it didn't appear that the people opposing it had read the bill. And I think the other kind of thing to note is that the people in favor of the bill kind of mobilized more slowly because they had been under the impression the governor was going to sign the bill.
You know, and a lot of it, you know, they talk about these issues with parking requirements and other things, but really the fundamental issue was this feeling that it was an incremental step towards sort of requiring municipalities to build. But even though that it kind of everyone said after, we laid it out there, but they could ignore it.
Right. Yeah. I think for housing advocates, this kind of marked one of their biggest steps forward. And for opponents, it really felt like an overreach into local control and then kind of forcing, like you said, forcing towns to build. Although I think the people who wrote the bill would say, like you said, you know, it's incentives, and there's lots of kind of space for towns to plan and zone and put in their own input.
We're talking with Jenny Monk. Again, you can read the piece, ctmirror.org, just to be basically a lot of the chronology through the process that led the governor to veto a bill that his office really worked on getting through and made it made a lot of people very upset. And I think the key is, to what degree are we going to revisit this and what stays and goes? I mean, if there is a special session to address the budget, will this be included? Is this, as it stands, dead and they have to start over?
Yeah, so the governor's office has said the kind of the two things they have issue with and want to work on are the parking bit that you mentioned, and then another piece that sets a number of housing units that towns should plan and zone for, and allows the towns to kind of appeal that number. But those are the two issues that the governor's office has said they want to work on. That said, I received a document and wrote a story a few weeks ago that at least early negotiations were much broader than that. So I think it remains to be seen.
Anything else in the piece or that you stumbled across in reporting this out that you think people should know about?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it was an interesting kind of inside look at the way the governor's office and the governor himself kind of respond to some of these critiques. You know, he's saying early on that he thinks it's, I think the quote was a gross misrepresentation of the bill, but still he ultimately vetoed it.
Does it make him seem too reactive to criticism?
You know, I think that's what some of the housing advocates and some lawmakers would say. His office says, you know, we're responding to what constituents want, which is what the governor was elected to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it shows that advocacy, when people say call your congressman or voice your displeasure, it can actually, you know, create something on the other end. I mean, some people think that's a waste of time, but clearly it's not. Jenny, great job. It was really interesting. I mean, for you to go through all that stuff and then sort of reduce it for us was great. So we appreciate the time, and I encourage everybody to go to ctmirror.org and give it a read. Jenny, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.